there's a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live at the Elder Dragon Dorn podcast. This is your host, Igor, and as always with me is my co-host, Niksha. Niksha, what's up? God damn you, Niksha.
I'm better. So my foot isn't broke anymore.
You were actually walking.
Yeah, I was actually walking. You know what? Where I walked to?
Mm-hmm.
To our LG. I finally...
So what did you play?
Just some... a bit of casual.
Mm-hmm. What did you play?
Well, we'll talk about that when we get to our first segment,
Ooh.
Which we start with every time, our commander of the week. So, Igor, what was your commander?
I managed to play just like a couple of games last Sunday because we all had busy weeks and all that. And there was one particular game of Blood, but then I managed to blow up everybody's lands, which was good. But then Elish Norn showed her dirty face, and then Sepperlings just beat everybody's face in, and that's the best thing ever. And just for that, I'm happy for a certain card that we already discussed about, but we'll talk a bit about later. Just for that deck.
Okay. Well, for my return to Magic, well, actually, it's not really the first Magic. One of my friends, he doesn't have Tabletop Simulator, so he had to improvise. So he made an Excel spreadsheet on Office Online, which he shared with. So we were both at home playing with our decks, with our physical decks, and we were just writing down our board state and we actually managed to play like 3 or 4 games.
Sheesh, that's gorilla as hell.
Yeah, he really wanted to play Magic. He didn't play it in a long time.
Wasn't Skype a thing that you could have done?
Yeah, we were playing over Skype, but it's some way to track our...
No cameras or anything. Oh.
I mean, if we...
But that sounds like...
We had Tabletop Simulator, much easier.
If some people had it, huh? Calling the man out on the podcast. Brutal. But what did you play in the LGS?
I played Karador, I played Ninjas, and I played the KNT.
That's nice. A wide assortment of decks.
Sorry, what?
A wide assortment of decks, I say.
Yeah, I just wanted to try... Oh! I also played Avatar Min.
Phage?
Yeah, Phage.
Phage.
Because one guy was playing the Rebel Commander.
Lin Sivi.
Yeah, Lin Sivi. And he was going like infinite life. And I noticed that in KNT, I don't have actually a way around.
There you go.
But you know, Phage doesn't care about your life.
She does not give a damn.
Yeah, but we died.
How?
Oh, you know, Lin's went in life. Or yeah. Some guy went inside and then, it was blown up to kill us all? Something like that.
Honestly, if you're having wound conditions like that, you could just put, you know, Aether Sphere Reservoir into your deck.
Oh yeah, Aether Sphere Reservoir was also...
Oh, but then I know how he died.
I really don't remember. I was kind of like, oh, he's in life. I'm just trying to set up my play Phage without dying. KNT was kind of fun until we all lost. You know, whenever I play Silvala Stampede, it's not a good idea to say wild because people think that a random creature from my deck is. Turns out it's not that often the case.
It's basically okay. What do I hate? A random thing or a sure thing from his hand? And it's basically a lose-lose decision.
Sometimes they're trying to, and they're like, everybody votes free, trying to, like, empty my hand, so they'll blow up everything. And then suddenly, somebody votes wild and an Avacyn.
Of course she does.
That's, like, my favorite.
Yeah, we had experiences with her, and she's a bloody bitch.
Also, that's one of the reasons I don't run simple mana dorks, because I don't want to stampede.
Yeah, why should you play efficient creatures and all that, you know?
Well, I mean, I have two Silvalas. They're efficient.
You have been complaining that you always are lacking mana in that deck.
No, that, yeah, but that's just variance, you know? I have 40 lands and I don't draw them. That's kind of doesn't happen.
I just cut a couple of lands, put a couple of mana dogs. You're fine.
No. No, I don't want a Lurking Predators into a dork. Talking.
Oh, there you go. Just cut Lurking Predators. You're fine.
No. I tried, Birds of Paradise, but then I got a foil Cultivate and I was like, okay, I'll stick with the Cultivate.
You and I play different kinds of Magic, apparently.
I mean, if I have a foil card, I better find room for it in any deck, so...
I've tried to do that, but I mostly get crappy foils, so, you know, doesn't pan out as good for me.
But anyways, those were my collection, and mm-hmm. soon I hope to be playing some Standard, some Modern.
A pre-release, maybe?
Unfortunately.
So it's a totally out of the war, eh?
Yeah.
Aw.
But a friend of mine and I will be actually sharing a box.
Ooh, you actually managed to cave in and actually share it with somebody, because I know you were like, I would like to share it, but I want it all.
It's like, he already ordered one, and he said like, well... Like it or not, you're sharing it with me. And I was like, okay.
If I have to do this thing, I like.
Ugh. I mean, but we did make an agreement. I get the Karn.
Oh, okay. Of course you get the Karn. The problem is...
Go on.
No, just finish it all. The problem is...
The problem is that so far, like, if the rest of the spoilers go the way they were this... I'm going to need a playset of the entire set.
Yeah.
Except even random... Cabal Evangel, it's a black bear. Except you.
Black bears are not bad.
It's not even a vampire.
I'm mostly hating, you know, the flavor text on the card. I'm wishing all the worst to the Demon Lord Belton Cock.
Oh, that's it.
Speaking of, we did have a listener comment on the show, and he roleplayed as hell as the Demon Lord Belton Cock. And we had a email exchange, a couple of emails. He really, really went into the role.
Wow.
So I asked him to give us an address so we can, you know, actually maybe send him a care package or something like that, because I was really entertained by that. I'll show you the copies of it. You'll be like, what the hell is happening here?
All right then. So.
But yeah, shout out to that guy. I'll just give you the name in like a second. But first, it's the Birdman, by the way. The Birdman is the guy who's total nut Belton Cock.
Shout out to Birdman.
Shout out to Birdman. But yeah, let's move on to the spoilers. We're using Mythic Spoiler, we're just using the daily. And April 2nd, there's a couple of cards we didn't cover, because time zones and stuff.
And April... is it like the... The date is above the cards, or is it below?
I think it's above the cards, it should be. Makes the most sense.
I think it's below it.
No, I think
it's above. It's above, yeah.
Yeah, we have this discussion every spoiler season. Usually we resolve it, you know, off air, but this time we're being professional.
So, from April 2nd, what did we miss?
So we missed Raf Kapashen Ship's Mage. We missed Weatherlight itself. Aboard the said Weatherlight. And Teshar Ancestor's Apostle.
Yeah, I still think we did Teshar Ancestor's Apostle, but we'll do him just sure.
I don't think we did, because he came out, I was like hype as hell, because you'll see why.
Did we do Territorial Allosaur?
We did, he was in the spoiler, in the leak.
Oh.
He came in, he smacked face.
And also, now that we have the art, there's also a random fungi in the bottom right corner. He's just looking at it. It might be slime food.
Speaking of fungi, we did get a confirmation that Slimefoot was actually just some mole that you forgot for Weatherlight, and that became him. So we were actually correct on the theory. Turns out, kids, when you shitpost enough, you'll get it right sooner or later.
So, where do we start?
What do you want to talk about first?
Well, Raf Kapashen is definitely an interesting card.
Ooh, he's hell of a card. So, what does it do?
Raf Kapashen, Ship's Mage, is a 2 and a white and a blue... for a 3 legendary human wizard with flesh and flying. You may cast historic spells as though they had flesh. And historic spells are artifacts, legends, sagas.
Sheesh.
I mean...
It's simple text, but it's strong.
I mean, it's... I'd play it instead of quick... Is it Quicksilver? Yeah, it's Quicksilver Mirror. The flesh
Shimmering
Mirror. Shimmering Mirror.
Yeah.
I definitely play this over. I mean, not in a mono-colorless deck, but in Scarecrows, hell yeah. I mean,
or you just play both.
Maybe. I mean, it has a giant upside that it gives legendaries, you know, flash, and legendary sorcery are still legendary, so you can actually make your own legendary.
But this guy enables so many things. First of all, he has flash, and that's really good for a commander, just having flash.
Yeah.
But also, the amount of things you can just cheat into play is stupid.
This guy is actually quite
He's versatile.
Quite powerful.
He can be comboish. He could be, you know, stacksy.
You can do whatever you want, because you do everything whenever you want.
Given things flash, he's historically been extremely powerful.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really cool card, and it's an uncommon.
I'm impressed by the quality of uncommon legends in this set.
I'm impressed by the quality of uncommons.
Yeah. In a normal set, this guy would be rare.
This guy would also almost be...
Yeah, he might be actually pushing it in that territory, but he would be really strong rare, to say at least. But now, there's a huge chance you have just like a couple of them in your pre-release pack.
Yeah, just get them from that random mandatory legendary from the pack.
By the way, pre-release foils. Do we have a confirmation? Is it going to be legendaries and the rares, or just the rares?
I mean, there's no reason why they should change the formula. It's probably to be a random rare or mid.
It would be really cool if they included legends as well. Of course, you would have some feel-bads about, you know, really crappy uncommon as your foil, but the same happened with rares, so, you know.
Yeah, I have a feeling that we have, like, less feel-bad rares here. I mean, let's say for the general public, but for some spiky people, there are some quite feel-bad rares.
Of course, because not every card can be the best.
Well, this set almost did that.
This set is really strong. What's the next thing we want to talk about? Let's talk about Weatherlight, shall we?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, for 4 mana, Weatherlight is a legendary artifact vehicle. 4-5 when it becomes crude. Flying, crew 3. And that crew 3 is fun because Joyra is the captain of the Weatherlight. And she has 3 powers, so she can crew it herself.
Yeah, and Rav Kapashin has 3 power.
Yeah, but I'm just looking flavorfully. The ship's captain can crew the vehicle. That's already slam dunk. But the following text is important concerning the captain. Whenever Weatherlight deals combat damage to a player, look at top 5 cards of your library. You may reveal a historic card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on your bottom of your library in a random order. So, you just get things, you know, into your hand that are historic, and then Joyra can enable you drawing cards for that.
And you can just all do that all instant speed because Rav Kapashin.
Yeah. And my god, if you have the whole crew on the field, it looks really nice.
Yeah, so if somebody destroys the Weatherlight, then Tiana will get it back.
The only person who doesn't help the shenanigans that much is the Slimefoot.
Well, he's just sentient mold.
Yeah, you can't expect that much of him. But yeah, Arvad helps Weatherlight be bigger.
Also Raf the rest of the crew.
Yeah, Raf helps, you know, casting whatever you drew. Joyra gives you a card draw. Tiana protects the ship. Just the whole combo is really nice. Just not combo, you know, the synergy between the people on the crew.
Yeah, and I think that's the part that we're talking about. So they said that this is the that the Weatherlight is the first card they started designing and the last card they finished.
Yep.
And I don't think they meant only just the Weatherlight, because the design is pretty simple, pretty straightforward. But the whole combination of it with is really cool.
The thing is, these 5 people are actually Weatherlight. Because Weatherlight was never, you know, the ship, it was the people who were aborted.
Yeah.
And goblins, and minotaurs, and golems, you know.
So we have basically the original, almost the original on this ship. So we have Joyra, who is Joyra.
Yeah.
We have
Joyra is here being Captain Sisse.
Yeah. So we have a Kapashin.
No, he's being Ertai, actually. You have to, don't associate names with the role they're playing. The ship's mage was Ertai. Arvad the Curse, that would be Krovax, right?
Yep.
Slimefoot, the stowaway, that's basically He's taking the role of Squee. Yeah, even though Squee is here, but he's taking his role. And Tiana is being Hana.
Well, it's kind of almost literal.
Yeah, because she's what, reincarnation or something like that?
Her, Hana's soul spirit? Is Tiana.
Aha, uh-huh. Basically reincarnation.
Almost.
Is the ferry on board of the Red Light?
We don't know yet. I don't think there was a story with the ferry yet.
But the skies behind him and Joyra seem look kind of the same.
It's the sky, so, I mean.
Yeah, but the position of the sky and all that,
also,
you know.
Also, and it, he had that second trailer.
Yeah, and if he is aboard the Red Light, he's taken the role of Gerard. I'm hoping less tragic.
I mean, old Walker that got his spark, but he's gonna be.
And we're just missing what? Tangard? The Minotaur.
Yeah. maybe Groon the Lonely King will take his...
That and Miri. We're missing Miri.
Oh.
Yeah. By the way, Miri has the best combination of lore and the card. Because moments before she died, she's pictured on the card Curiosity, right? And then she dies. So Curiosity killed the cat.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. But anywho, enough of this rambling. You want to talk us what happens when you board the Weatherlight?
So, board the Weatherlight is a sorcery for one and a white. Look at the top five. It basically does the Weatherlight.
Yeah.
It does the on-hit Weatherlight. So it takes five cards for a historic card. So, and that's kind of good.
Mm-hmm. So you can board the Weatherlight, so you can find the Weatherlight, and then, you know, do the Weatherlight.
Yeah, or just get the crew for the Weatherlight.
This is actually quite versatile, both for Sisay decks, for just artifact decks.
And for white in general, basically.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost a... And it's not a turn, but it's a card draw.
Yeah.
Filtering.
Judging by the amount of legendary creatures I run in my decks, I might actually play this in some of them.
I was going more along the lines of when I'm going to build mono-white Tron, this could be a replacement for Ancient Stirrings. Although it doesn't land. It doesn't fetch a land, but it gets... It gets the Mana Rocks, it gets the Solemn, it gets the Legendaries, the Planeswalkers, just Legendary. So it's actually legit.
Plus, Nixia, this art in foil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these foils.
Art direction for this set is simply amazing. I'm not always down with the art direction that they're taking for most sets, but this actually looks really Dominaria-like. Mm-hmm. But the card I wanted to talk about was Teshar, Ancestor's Apostle. For 3 and a white, it's legendary creature, bird cleric, so you and I can be happy for birds. It's a 2-2. Flying. Whenever you cast a historic spell, return target creature card with commander mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. So basically, cast a Chrome Mox, get back Talia or something like that.
Yeah, it's a value
machine. It's a stupidly strong value machine. Because if you're playing, you know, bunch of mana rocks and things like that, you will get a bunch of things back from your deck.
Or, you know, you're just playing your scarecrows and you get more scarecrows from your deck.
Yeah. This is almost Sun Titan levels of uselessness.
It's a lot more combo inside
the Titan. Definitely, definitely. It gets really fun with Cloudstone Curio and things like that.
Oh, definitely. Oh, man.
Yeah. Even though it doesn't work that well with artifacts, but you know. Moving on to April 3rd.
Sure.
So, what's the first thing you want to talk about?
Well, the first thing I want to talk about is Tatyova Benthic. 3 green and blue for a 3/3 legendary Merfolk Druid. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 1 life and draw a card.
Simple effect, but oh my.
Oh my, is this powerful. Especially for KNT. I mean, just
I was,
wow.
I was thinking to build something simicky, you know, these days I was thinking of Momir Vig, but this thing is interesting, maybe not as general, but definitely in the 99 for Momir Vig.
Well, it depends. Maybe you want to build a deck that, like, goes through lands fast, or a lot of lands, and does things with lands.
I would need Azusa for that.
Azusa and a couple.
Yeah. But this is really good, solid effect. And it's an uncommon.
And it's a Merfolk.
Because it needed to be Merfolk.
I guess. I mean, it's relevant at some point.
Yeah. Anything else you gotta say about this card?
Well,
besides, the name is weird for, you know, Dominaria.
Yeah. It's just It's so sad it doesn't go into the Hypnotoad deck because he's only black and green.
Yeah.
But you can definitely go with the Toad, since in Modern you play Sultai with the with a Toad. You can just slot in Tatyova there.
Or you can just play, you know, Tessiger and then just have, you know, the frog inside and have that be your secret general.
Yeah, that's...
What I want to say about the name was, I could see this name much more being at home at Ravnica, because Tatyova is so Slavic.
Yes, definitely.
But it's here, so who am I to disagree? A card I wanted to just mention for a second was Ronan the Disciple of Geeks because of the art. The art is so Star Wars that it hurts. you just have just this chick with an afro and a cybernetic eye, and almost like a double-sided lightsaber, almost.
And the background? Things in the background also have some Star Wars aesthetic.
You mean the scrap droids and the dark, the Death Star window in the behind?
Yeah, the Death Star window.
Like, what the hell? I'm like, if you show me and said this is like some mercenary from Star Wars, I'll be like, well, yeah, I can see that. In Magic, it's out of place, but the art is gorgeous. What stacks do you want to talk about? Naban, Dean of Iteration, got really fun in Modern, apparently.
He's probably could be, like, fine.
So, Magic Aid's channel, he did a playtesting session with Naban in Merfolk, because most Merfolk are wizards. Holy crap, it was strong.
I mean, drawing two cards from your cult?
Bouncing things.
Getting double as much elementals.
Turns out Vendilion Click is also a wizard.
Well, Snapcaster is also.
But he didn't put it in this deck.
I know, but it's for another kind of, I think.
Turns out when you have Panharmonicon for wizard, it's kind of strong.
Also on just a 2-mana.
Also, he looks like a bad guy on the art. Maybe.
Maybe he's like Snape. He like seems like a bad guy. He does things like the bad guy, but then it turns out that he was actually...
But let's talk... I want to talk about actual really good cards.
Sure.
We have Shalai, the Voice of Plenty. 3 and a white. Legendary creature, Angel. That's actually rare. Surprisingly, we actually have rares in this set. Not just uncommons. It's a 3-4 with flying. You, planeswalkers you control and other creatures you control have hexproof. 4 green-green, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. First of all, the Death and Taxes community for Modern has gone crazy over this card. Because it gives you so many good things. Because you can't be Bolt, you can't be, you know, target this card, you can't be Liliana and all that.
And it's just 4 mana. That's like super cheap for its effect.
And the third ability just pumping, you most likely will never get to it and it doesn't matter.
But, you know, it's just one more mana off of the land.
Yeah, but in mono-white, that deck, which is the best home for this, you don't play that much green, mostly off of Canopy. What is that? Horizon Canopies.
Horizon.
Mostly off of that, and you have maybe one or two of those in the deck, so you will most likely never get to it, but it doesn't matter.
If it ever happens, it's really cool.
Yeah, it's Gravy Train, but these two abilities are great, and I'm going to get like a couple of these cards. One for me, one for Tess, sexual to one of these, because it's a really good card. And this is the way you make, you know, something like Sigarda not AIDS, because this is actually fair.
Okay, it also might be in higher availability than normal Chase Rares, because I see the Chase Rare.
Definitely.
Because it's a legendary, so it might go under that. We still don't know for certain if that mandatory random legendary in every pack is like, they just seeded the booster so that it just goes, a booster, there's a legendary pack, or if it's like, instead of a common or something like that, another slot that's just a legendary.
I'm hoping it's just a legendary slot. That they have a special sheet for that.
Also, yeah, I really hope that as well, because you have those awesome moments of double runa pack.
Yeah. You could have actually, if you listen to the Man of Podcast, there was this annoying guy to one guy's LGS. So, you can get 3 double-sided cards in the booster, and the guy says, No, but you don't understand. You can get 3 double-sided cards. One for this, yeah, I know, and then the guy repeated like 5 more times. But I'm hoping actually that this is the way, you know, to have special stuff for this, because it makes it much cleaner. And you get those feel-good moments.
And also helps the supply of fluid, which will
definitely
be, like, everybody will is gonna need some legendary.
The pre-release is gonna be epic, I think, with this. Legends left and right and center, and oh my god. What's next you wanna talk about?
Well, we have a Four Bearers Blade, and just before just before I say what it is, shout out to the Theseris guy for Mythic spoiler for including Forest Bear.
Well, yeah. It's his blade, after all.
So the best way to use the Four Bearers blade is to have four bears on, and just have them exchange it among
them. Niksha, do I have to include the picture of eight fucking bears? You know the card, right?
Yeah.
I'll put it in the show notes later, but you know.
So, Four Bearers blade. Not four bears. Okay, Four Bearers blade is a 3-mana artifact equipment that equips 3. And gives the equipped creature +3/+0 and vigilance and trample. Whenever equipped creature dies, attach Forebearer's Blade to target creature you control. So, it's like Rancor, just never goes away.
But it's much more fairer than Rancor.
Yeah, because you can actually...
Yeah.
I mean, it's a cool deck for any, I guess, Naban decks.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, for any decks that want a lot of equipment, but aren't Voltron, so they go wide-ish.
Plus, if you have things that give you temporary tokens that, you know, get sacrificed at the end of turn, this is good use for them.
Really good.
Yeah, something like Kiki Jiki and things like that.
Yeah, it's a decent card. I could see played in Commander a bit.
It gives +3/+0 Vigilance and Trample. And Tess said, well, what if I have Odric out? And then it's like, yeah... Yeah. Odric makes everything better.
It's kind of his thing.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't go for the card a bit below. Yawgmoth's Vile Offering.
Oh. Yeah, we went to Shalai, which is away from it, so I carried away.
It's literally next to it on my screen.
No.
So, for 4 and a black, it's Legendary Sorcery. And you may cast Legendary Sorcery only if you control Legendary Creature or Planeswalker. Put up to one target creature or planeswalker card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. Destroy up to one target creature or planeswalker, exile Yawgmoth's Vile Offering. Centuries ago, a mad god offered a simple trade. So what was the simple trade, Diksha?
Well, the trade was, Urza's life for Hana's life.
Yep.
But, and go on.
Gerard made the decision like this. Yeah, fuck Urza, he said.
Urza was a mad guy anyway.
Plus, Urza, kind of a dick. When I say kind of a dick, that dick that makes it like thousands of generations of people breed amongst themselves unwillingly. Not unwillingly as, you know, forcibly, but he orchestrated everything so he could get Gerard Kapashian the perfect specimen to control the Vanillite. And he kind of screwed Gerard's life up.
He just wanted
he just wanted a tool to use to defeat Phyrexia. Because everything bad that happened in Gerard's life was Urza's fault.
Well, you know, it is Phyrexia. You could say that justified them.
I mean, it was a crappy situation and he didn't actually kill Urza.
I mean, how you can't really just kill an old one. Yeah. Just like that.
Just like that, no. As Teferi in the end. But also important about this card, the art.
Well, because we like see the rest of this set, the art is gorgeous.
But we see Gerard holding a sword, holding a severed head, which is Urza's, bunch of misshapen bodies, and Yawgmoth himself.
Yeah, except Yawgmoth himself is not the one we think it.
What do you mean?
Well, you know that that's not Hana. It's disguised Yawgmoth.
Yeah, no. But I'm meaning about the huge visage of the winged Olmo demon-like thing.
Yeah, I still think it's just a structure that's built in Yawgmoth's image.
Yeah, but this is the closest we could... second closest we could come to him, because we actually have a picture of him.
Yeah, but that's like from eons. From a magazine, nobody... I mean, somebody...
Niksha, isn't this the whole historical set or not?
It is.
So there we go. It's legit.
But then Yawgmoth is described as a grotesque pile of bodies and demon parts, and like he can ever shifting, so he can be like anything he wants almost.
Yep.
So that just might as well be Yawgmoth, but I think it's just a structure, like an altar to Yavma.
I think it's actually both, because on Phyrexian Arena, the original printing, you see Jiraiya fighting Urza, and there is a bunch of almost faceless creatures, all the same, in the, you know, being the audience.
In the thing that Yawgmoth is the audience?
That's heavily implied. Wait, I'll get the... But I wouldn't be surprised if he could shape into building itself, because it's Yawgmoth.
It's definitely within his possibility.
So he could be both... an audience of one with the malice of thousands. So he could be, you know, he's the audience who's watching the spectacle, and he could be both the audience and the arena itself.
Also, he is kind of like one of those mad people that he would do something like that. He does seem like kind of a guy that would do something like that.
Yeah. So the thing that we're seeing could actually be him and not him at the same time.
Well, I hope we'll get some kind of official on that.
I don't think we will, and that's the best thing, actually, because we can speculate wildly.
Just admire the art.
Yeah, I want to get that art much full-blown.
But enough about the art. The card is actually insane as well.
Card is really good.
It kills Planeswalker or a creature.
And reanimates a Planeswalker or a creature.
From any graveyard, not just yours.
Of course, you exile it afterwards, because to make it fair.
Also, it's a Yawgmoth card, and they generally exile them.
Yeah. Do they?
What do you mean, based on Yawgmoth's will?
Oh, no, Yawgmoth's will doesn't exile itself. Or does it?
It has to.
But other Yawgmoth cards don't actually exile themselves. Like, you know, his bargain, which is a fair card.
Yeah, but that's an...
Still. I like the flavor of the card, because the effect is flavorful. Sure, let's trade life for life. I'm just sad it doesn't destroy first and then give you the thing back.
Well, you need to have a target. It kind of doesn't work.
I think it's more so you couldn't destroy their Planeswalker. The resolution is there at the same time. So I don't know why they could... I wish they actually put, you know, destroy one target creature and then put one target creature. Just because you have to honor the bargain first and then you get your prize.
Perhaps. I mean, it's a good card with the art and the effect and everything.
Okay, I also want one foil of these.
One foil of everything.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm so glad we're coming back home. I'm honestly so glad.
So, what's the next card?
What's next you want to talk about? Because I've been yabbering a lot.
So I don't think there's anything else.
We just need to mention one thing about Karn.
He has some pants.
That. It's not pants, it's long blood. Quite different. He's minus two. If you search for the card called Beast of Burden, right?
Yeah, he makes tokens that have the artwork of Burden, almost.
But the Beast of Burden looks almost like him.
Yeah.
Because Urza was creating a bunch of Beasts of Burden to help him, you know, with his work, but he managed to give this one sentience.
So now Karn makes up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
And I think it reads them better than Urza ever did anything, actually. Urza was such a dick, goddamn.
So, yeah, I mean, that's about it for that day.
Yeah, April 4th is next.
And oh boy, oh boy.
What do you want to start with?
Well, I want to start with one of the more exciting cards from this day, is Slin Voda, the Rising
Deep. Ooh.
So
what does it do?
Slin Voda is a 6/6 and double blue for an 8/8 legendary creature Leviathan with kicker for 1 and a blue.
So Niksha, you were being pissed off about apes getting legendary.
I mean,
now Leviathans get one as well.
But there are already legendary.
I think this one gets a pass because mostly he's cool, not because, you know.
No, he Leviathan's gets a pass because it's not the first time Leviathan's legendary.
Oh yeah, okay, fair enough. Carry on.
Also, they're Leviathans are more legendary than
apes,
spiders. So, when Slin Voda, the Rising Deep, enters the battlefield, if it was kicked, return all creatures to their owner's hands except for merfolk, krakens, leviathans, octopuses, and serpents.
So, if you ever wanted the sea life general, this could be your guy.
Better ones, but...
There are.
But hey, it's a guaranteed leviathan that bounces stuff.
But, no, Niksha, this one is better, to be a general. You know why? This one has water in the name. And Voda means water in Croatian, so...
Yeah, again, a kind of Slavic card.
Yeah, I mean, the sea itself is called Voda, so, as we talked about in the previous episode. Mm. But as the general itself, really on the pricey side.
I'm not talking about it for Commander.
You're talking about it for Thrawn, aren't you?
I might.
God
damn
it.
Because, you know, with the kicker, it's 10 mana.
Mm-hmm.
7 generic, which you get from Thrawn. You're gonna have, like, 2 islands on the field because of, you know, just playing an island or with Solemn. And you're probably gonna have a mana rock that gives you. So, I can see him being played, and then, you know what he doesn't bounce back?
Your Planeswalkers?
No, it doesn't bounce back the blue emerging Eldrazi Octopus.
Oh, that guy. Deep Sea Fiend, right?
Deep Sea, yeah. Elder
Fiend. Elder Deep Fiend,
Elder
I think.
Elder Deep Fiend, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we got there. We got there.
Okay, through deduction.
Uh-huh.
So you can just, like, swing with your Karak, your Elder... I mean, it's just such an exciting idea that I have to now. I just have to get those good counter spells for Tron.
Condescend?
Descend, Remand, stuff.
Yep, yep. But art is also gorgeous.
It is. And
he looks
uncommon. Oh, my
and
god.
He looks like a dinosaur, though.
Well, that's... I kind of imagine Leviathans to be, like...
Yeah.
Dinosaurish.
Yep. Me too, but it's weird to not see the tagline dinosaur anymore because we just came from Ixalan.
Well, Leviathan is its own type.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Want to think about something next?
Well, I guess Gilded Lotus is back.
Gilded Lotus? I'm actually preferring this version to the Mirrodin one.
This art is gorgeous.
Gorgeous art, it's Dominaria, it has Karn on the flavor text, that's it. I'm getting a couple of copies of this. Dralno definitely needs it, and I'll see if I slot it in any other decks.
I mean, if they drop in price.
Even if they don't, I'm going to chase these ones. Because Dominaria.
Because Gilded Lotus got really pricey without me knowing. I mean, I was
this is going to drop in price.
Why is it? I mean, this set just looks absurd. I'm sure that people are going to be buying boxes.
You know why the Lotus jumped in price? Because, it's been a good while since we've seen it last. Magic 2000, what was it, 13, 14, something like that? Commander is a popular thing, and, you know. And Lotus is usually do have a price tag. Next that's interesting is the Two-Headed Giant, right?
Yeah, he's just a fun guy.
So, he's a giant warrior.
Yeah.
Two, red, for 4/4, so basically, yeah. Whenever Two-Headed Giant attacks, flip two coins. If both coins come up heads, he gets double strike until end of turn. If both coins come up tails, Two-Headed Giant gains Venice until end of turn.
So when the two heads agree to something, they actually...
Yeah, they actually do it well. Honestly, if you get this in sealed, it's a 4-4 for 4 mana.
Which has a potential upside.
Yes.
A really good potential upside.
Either way, it's really good if you get both heads, both tails, you know.
It's a really good...
If you just put it like the Four Bears sword on him, the blade, it gets even stupider if you get double strike or something like that.
I mean, if you put that blade on Grun the Lonely King, he gets insane.
He gets actually good, you mean?
Yeah, he's just missing trample, so Grun, I think that with 5 counters, he one-shots.
Yeah, but he doesn't have trample for a good reason.
Yes, but we do have...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Want to talk about memorials?
Sure.
Memorials aren't that much important because of the effects of the cards. They enter the battlefield tap and tap for whatever the color mana, you know, are they assigned to. But Memorial to War, 4 tap, 4 and red sacrifice Memorial to War, destroy target land. We have Karona's monument in the art. Memorial to Folly, 2 black and a tap, sacrifice it to the turn target creature card from your graveyard to hand. We have Urza and his Folly. And he kind of screwed almost everything up, but you know.
And who's the other guy?
Could be Mishra, actually.
It might, yeah.
Because those two idiots almost screwed everything up.
Yeah.
The whole plane. We have Memorial to Genius. Four blue and a tap, sacrifice the draw to cards, and we have Baron on the art, who led the Academy. And we see, actually, Tolaria Vest in the foreground and the Memorial in the background. Memorial to Glory. 3 blue and a tap, sacrifice it to create 2 1-1 white soldier tokens, and this is Gerard. to his glory, to his sacrifice and everything. And then we have immortal to unity, two and a green, tap, sacrifice it. Look at top 5 cards of your library, you may reveal a creature card from among them and put it into your hand, put the rest on the bottom of your library in random order. And this is to, what's his name, Eldramri, yeah. Because his mission was to, you know, unite all the peoples of Dominaria to fight against the Phyrexians, but not in stupid Urza way, but actually, you know, through unity.
Willing, I mean.
Yeah. So these are 5 people who have shaped, you know, Dominaria. And I'm glad that old legends are still being, you know, cherished.
I mean, these lands aren't really to be underestimated.
Also, just one small detail about Memorial to Folly. You know what's in the background? And actually, I was wrong. It's also Gerard's statue in the Memorial to Folly.
I know, but because I forgot.
It's a martyr's tomb in the background. And Martyr's Tomb is the memorial to all the people who died during the apocalypse. But only these two guys got their statues, separate statues. So this is to them. But you were going to say this is fixing, right?
I would say for one color, deck, these are definitely like... And
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that you can include them in 2-color decks because they all do pretty relevant stuff. I mean, the red one destroys the land. Which
always useful. Good.
The folly one, it, you know, it brings you a guy back in late game. That's really good.
Blue one is really good.
It draws you 2 cards. And what else yep. to say?
For control decks, this is great because you can just, you know, be untapped during everybody's turn. If you don't need to do anything, draw 2 cards.
Memorial to Glory is, for commander standpoint, it like the least exciting one. But for like standard
it's standard, yeah,
better.
Kind yeah, of. And the green one is, you know. It's alright.
It goes through Aven Mines.
That is correct, actually. Which is in standard, even though it's not being played that much, but still.
It's and they're uncommon, so no power yeah. for it.
And I'm really liking just because of the history of it. Yeah. We have Benalia, we have Tolera Vest, the Memorial's Tomb. Memorial to War is what? It's Keld? Or Shivan?
I think it's
Shiv. And Memorial to Unity, it's most likely Aven Maya Forest.
So, yeah. Those are... Not concerning lands,
memorials.
But Baird, the steward of Argive, the guy that taxes,
yeah.
not taxes, but makes you pay for a tax,
mm-hmm.
he's an uncommon, and you know, those kind of effects are so fun for drafting.
Yep.
So yeah, I can just imagine this draft to be the wildest thing.
I'm so looking forward to the release. One more on to April 5th, we have a couple of cards to discuss here.
I just wanted to mention, a friend just reminded, Helm of the Host, you attach it like Gisela, and then you pull damage, you take 4 times, and you take like no damage.
Yep.
Oh my.
But it's still the best thing to have in, you know, Godo, the Band Warlord.
Yeah, okay.
Aurelia is also really nice, but Godo actually fetches the damn thing from the deck. generally for Commander, this is a really great card. Because it doesn't just trigger on legendaries, it triggers on anything, but on legendaries it's stupidly good.
And then just get your Panharmonicon out.
Oh my god. Yeah, so April 5th.
Oh, April 5th is a good one.
So what's the first thing you want to talk about?
Well, the fact that Damping Sphere is an uncommon.
Yep.
Damping Sphere, which is going to be like a staple sideboard card for Modern, is uncommon, so it's not going to go too much. It's not going to be too pricey.
I was just disappointed that I figured out that, you know, things like Cage Sun or Zendikar Resurgent aren't stopped by this. I was just like...
But it does stop the one that doubles you.
It stops the Mana Reflection.
Yeah, Mana Reflection.
It stops Gas Cradle and Lookalikes, and Toleran Academy Lookalikes. It stops that. It still stops Storm.
It stops a lot of Ixalan Transform lands.
Yeah, that's what I said with Lookalikes.
Oh.
It's really good. Just not as good as I wanted, but for uncommon, it shouldn't be that good. I thought it was going to be rare, and it was going to stop all those things, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't really change the effect.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to have if a player would add more than one mana to the mana pool, you know, at once, to one effect, just get one. That would be like, yes.
Still have your, you know, enchantments, kind of.
Yep.
But yeah, really cool to see this at uncommon.
Plus, the flavor text is the best.
A Thrawn Relic. It has spent 10,000 absolutely nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tux Incarnate. This is Tax.
Wow.
10 millennia has passed, not a single thing has untapped. I like this.
Oh, speaking of not untapping.
Yep.
I have a card that I thought was actually a reprint.
Yes.
Unwind. For 2 and a blue, it's an instant. Counter target non-creature spell. Untap up to 3 land.
Our resident control player Marco is gushing over this card.
I mean...
It's a negate with an upside.
But why are we going back to untapping land?
Because Rewind wasn't problematic.
Well, it wasn't? 4 mana?
Yep.
But this?
This is 3 mana, but it's more conditional.
It's just interesting seeing this kind of effect on Magic this
late. Yep, this late, yeah. I think they were really happy when they printed Rewind and nothing happened.
Well, I don't think this will be, overpowered or something like that, but it's still really interesting, this kind of powerful effect. Again, it's late.
Yep, but I think this is balanced enough. Yeah. What I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, Grand Warlord Rada. I'll be playing that in Bloodpod, oh my god. Because, kill everybody's lands, and then attack with a bunch of the sapperlings.
Suddenly don't care about them.
Yeah, and second of all, the art is so Mardu. The armor looks really Mardu-like. It doesn't seem like an elf. I just want to, take this art and plant it onto Lesha. And there was one small thing you noticed about the gauntlets.
About the?
The gauntlets of hers and the sword.
I heard in another podcast. Her sword is, completely clean. And her fists are completely covered in blood. And she's standing on a dead guy. So, yeah, she... with her
and there was one... There was one thing that people were complaining about. Not complaining, just mentioning. This Rada seems much thicker and stronger than the previous version. And not just that. I mean, part of that, but in that previous Rada, she was living in a really scarce society where food was not abundant. But now that the plane has actually recovered, I think that protein is much easier to come by.
She's
living the good life. Plus, I'm glad that she actually managed to secure a future for her people. Because she was leading a huge exodus of people from, destroyed the Shiv and everything like that to newer, safer places.
Oh, I just... So that reminds me, I heard the story, part of the stories. So the Celt were basically Vikings, right?
Something like that, yeah. You're stereotypical D&D barbarians.
They did have a prophecy of the end times when their ancestors will rise from the graves to fight once again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't... I just find it so... it's just so funny to me that when Phyrexia invaded, that their prophecy actually was correct. Except, they weren't... They came back life. They came back to life by being reanimated and fighting against.
They said they were gonna just get that back. That was true. Yeah.
Sometimes those prophecies are quite
vague. Prophecies are usually quite vague. Just that's the nature of them. So you keep you see, I told this vague thing. So fill in the blanks. Make me look right.
But yeah. So that's it. That happened. Mm-hmm. But moving on.
Syncopate is here. Move to common. Always a fun counter spell.
Thorn Elemental, new art.
And rarity shift.
Down to uncommon, normal.
Yep. A Fire Elemental is back, because it's set with Jaya and it's Dominaria. And Nixia, read the flavor text, please.
The best way to learn from a book on Pyromancy, to burn it.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's back. She is back. Sassy, as always, years haven't done anything to blunter her edge.
We have Drudge Sentinel, which references Drudge Skeleton.
Yep.
So it's a 3 mana for a 2/1, which it has pay 3, : tap Drudge Sentinel, it gains indestructible until end of turn. I mean, that's regenerate.
We just need to have, removed for combat.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's... I mean, they could have just put in, pay 3, : remove Drudge Sentinel from combat and tap it. It gains indestructible until end of turn.
But yeah, this is the way, I guess, this is gonna be handled from now on.
No, they made it tapped just to, remind us.
Uh-huh.
Indestructible is the new regenerate.
They're just teasing us. Cool.
It's just a reference.
Mesa Unicorn is Mesa Unicorn is a throwback to, you know, the Mesa Pegasus and stuff. A 2-2 lifelinker is pretty good, to be honest, but, you know, nothing to be writing home about. The Juggernaut is back. Anything interesting remain on this day?
This day, no.
Following April 6th, what's interesting to you?
Well, the art for the Czech land, for starters.
Oh, yes. Clifton Retreat, beautiful. Isola Chapel, beautiful. Harbor, beautiful. Cemetery, Suffolk Falls, oh my god.
Again, there's that Hinterland Harbor that has that Skyrim.
Read the flavor text, please, Diksha.
Of Harbor?
Yes.
Our ancestors brought down a Phyrexian portal ship, then built our town on its hull. We're pretty proud of that.
It's kind of great, you know? Kind of right.
I was kind of wondering what this information was.
Our ancestors? Kind of badasses.
That reminds me of Pacific Rim. How mm-hmm. they, like, built churches dedicated to the Kaiju overlords in Kaiju mm-hmm. bones.
Also, Woodland Cemetery has interesting flavor text. They never found the body of young Josu or that of his murdered sister. The fall of House Vess.
Well, we know where his...
And we kind of know where the parts of him are now. Anything else from this day? The Rite of Belzacok is here.
Yeah, it's a simple one. It's just two and a double black on... It's a saga on chapters 1 and 2 get 2-0-1 clerics, like that. And on you get a demon, a 6-6 demon with flying and trample. And it has, at the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice another creature. If you don't, it deals 6 damage to you. So, it's a callback to Lord of the Pit.
And he's also, isn't he also taking the title of Lord of the Pit?
Of course he did.
So this is just throwback to, you know, him. And he's still doing it worse than the Lord of the Pit did, because Lord of the Pit hit you for 7.
Yeah, but Belzenlok is 6-6, so he can't make a better version of himself. There is no better.
There is dead. what I like here is the art, because we have the skeletons from Dredge of the Dead from A25. This is sweet. The effect of the card is really good, but you know, you just need to have enough things to feed it.
Really not a problem.
Also, what we need to talk about is, let's talk about Jose, what like you like to call him. Jose Vess, Lich Knight. 2 black for 4-5 Legendary Zombie Knight. Already good. It has Menace, but also it has Kicker of 5 and a black. When Josu S. Lich Knight enters the battlefield, if it was kicked, create 8 2-2 black Zombie Knight creatures with Menace. Sheesh.
I mean, yeah. But you mean 4 mana for a 4-5 Menace guy is already
good.
Already good. But the fact that, you know, Issa and Geralt just got an amazing addition to them.
Also, Hakon, because this is a knight.
This is a knight, but it's more importantly a zombie.
Yeah, I'm just messing with you, but actually, yeah, this is really, really strong.
So once Geese and Geralt get to 10 mana and have a sacrifice outlet, oh look, they have a way to make 8 2-2 zombies whenever they want.
So you sacrifice them to Ashton's altar, and you already got 2 mana out of 6 that you need for the kicker. There we go.
There we go. I mean, this is just, it's insane. And for standard, I mean, 4 it's mana for a 4-5 is really good.
Yeah, nothing to scoff at. Plus, I'm liking that because this is a lich and an undead, it takes a bit of a while to, you know, get there. But once it gets there...
It got there.
Yeah. So this is what happened to the old Josu boy.
Yeah, and then Liliana killed.
Oh, well.
Spoilers. Again.
What's next you want to talk about?
Well, Tetsuku Umezawa,
the fugitive,
has a really nice flavor text. My ancestor Toshiro used to say, life is a series of choices in bad and worse. I'm a master of making great bad choices.
This is my spirit animal, by the way. Words to live by, not by choice, but you know, by freak accident. Plus the art is sweet.
So it's a reference to the choice of...
Yes, choice of narrations.
that's...
I'm really liking it. And then we have the meat of that day spoiler, Cabal Stronghold. It's a land. It has for colorless. Also, 3 and a tap, add black for each basic swamp you control.
So, yeah, Wizards kind of noticed that Cabal Coffers is strong, kind of. And
not just that, this is the seat of Belfenlock's power, right? So it has to be worse than the Cabal Coffers.
Yeah.
Because he does everything worse.
It's also in Urborg.
Yep. But yeah, this is, for mono black decks, a great second copy of, you know, or actually fourth copy of Urborg, something like that.
Yeah.
If you're playing, yeah, if you're playing Vazula and you're playing, Thespian Stage.
But this quite a bit more lands to actually start to work.
Yep.
So it needs, what, four basic swamps, more mana, right?
With four basic swamps, you're tapping for, you break even and then, because you tap this land, and you tap three other lands. And then you have, like, one extra?
So, on four, you tap three, and so this one, and four swamps, that's five lands, you tap four to get four and plus one, so you're even at four. So you need five basic swamps.
Yeah, it's really slow. And this is not, you know, as good as Cabal Coffers, but this is a secondary copy.
But it gives mana while Coffers doesn't.
Yep.
So you can actually, like, you know those hands where you have, like, one swamp and a Cabal Coffers, and you're like, I really want to keep this, but there's a good chance that Karma will get to me, won't draw swamps for the rest of Well,
this taps for mana.
Yeah, this actually gives you mana. But again, I'm surprised that Wizards are putting this kind of effect in a set after, you know, all the sets we had.
Oh, I mean, if not here, when?
I don't know, in a supplemental product?
No, this is better. Everybody can get it.
I know this is better. I mean, now we have kind of, you know, a bad version of Cabal Coffers, but still Cabal Coffers for Modern and Standard.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
you think this is going to do something in Modern?
I guess the Shrine is better.
Oh, yeah. Then this is the fifth, almost.
But still exciting.
Yeah. Is that it for today?
And today, when we're recording it on Saturday, normally don't get spoilers.
But we got the best one. The best one.
So we got Arcane Flight, which is one blue for an enchantment aura. You enchant a creature, and enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has flying. But it has an amazing art and an amazing flavor.
The art is just a cat with angelic spirit wings chasing birds. And the wisdom behind being like, what the hell, Mittens? What are you doing? Stop! But the Mittens wouldn't. No, this is his day of freedom. But Nixon, what is the flavor text?
So the flavor text is, the Tolarian Academies are known for their magical research, powerful sorcery, and accidental destruction of
Turns out, when you put apex predators that hunt birds and give them wings, they will actually exterminate all the birds.
This just reminds me of that card, Flight, which is just one blue for an enchantment that gives the enchanted creature flying, and it just has a flying...
That's 8th edition, or...?
It's from multiple editions, but last seen was in... But it doesn't have any magical wings or anything. No, it's just a zebra flying.
Have you ever played Morrowind? You know when you start the game and start walking to Sadanin, I think, and that guy falls from the sky, and you find that skull that gives you 1,000 points of acrobatics.
Yeah.
Well, that zebra found that skull, and he just jumped, and he can't stop. And the landing is gonna hurt a lot.
I just love that art. It's just... It's like the epitome of art unrelated. I mean, picture unrelated.
Zebra is basically, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I'm doing.
So that's...
But yeah, that is it for spoilers so far.
And, you know, you remember when Ixalan was coming out and then there was the leak of the almost all the rares from the set? And we thought that would, like, kill the hype or something?
Yep.
And turned out it didn't do anything to the hype?
Yep.
Well, this looks like that same. Dominaria is doing the same. We got, like, a lot of... We had over half of the set spoiled.
Yep.
With and all the bombs spoiled. And still, they're managing to hype up the set like crazy.
What I'm liking is, it's not that just, you know, the rares are a bomb. No, there's so many interesting uncommons. From the sagas, legendaries, we have Icy Manipulator back, for Christ's sake.
Also, they said, we're giving you the leaked document. Here it is. Look it for yourself. Yep. Don't look at wild translations. But we won't view the artwork.
Yeah.
And I can see why.
I'm glad they didn't, honestly.
I mean, this slow trickle of art was just absurd.
Mm-hmm. Plus, I'm now noticing Cast Down is referencing Chain of Torment. And we actually have that saga. And that's so sweet.
So, another thing I want to mention about this set, except for its superb art, I felt like the past couple of years of standard sets were just like, you know, here's a set, there's like a lot of cards in it, but as you can clearly see, you just put these cards together and you have a deck. And I was like, it was very, how do I say it? It was like a two-piece puzzle. It really wasn't that hard.
You mean you opened five dinosaurs, played a dinosaur deck?
No, I was thinking about the standard constructed.
Uh-huh. Which is, you know, still, you play big dudes. You play this.
I mean, like, in the case of energy.
There
wasn't really any wiggle room. There were very set amount of cards that were actually good for energy, and a lot of cards that were just garbage. And it was pretty obvious the way how you're going to make the deck. In the Zendikar time, it was pretty clear that Gideon is the only good card in the set, and
yep.
All you have to do is just find the cards that are, like, objectively good, and just place those cards, and that's it. Ixalan had a tribal theme, had tribal themes, but the tribal themes went so narrow that, I mean, it's pretty clear how you build those decks.
Yep.
It's like, the whole standard was being just so, I'm gonna say predictable, but there wasn't room for some variant. It was like everything fits with other cards predetermined, let's say. And then I look at Dominaria. So far, there are some themes that go in together, so like
wizards, knights,
goblins,
legends.
But like wizards, you can make them. An aggro deck, you can make a tempo deck, you can make a control deck out of them.
Yep.
You can just not play wizard tribal, but play some wizards in some kind of other kind of strategy. I just see a lot of cards that are good by themselves.
Yeah.
And can supplement a strategy in a way. So, the cards, the power is, there's power in the set. But it reminds me of the old days of power level. Like having a lightning bolt or a doom blade in standard.
I almost said like Kamigawa.
Four mana 1/1s are really good.
No, people remember Kamigawa for, you know, being weak because things like that. But do you remember how many broken things came out of Kamigawa? The dragons, the top, the jite.
Some ninjas,
yeah. But Kamigawa was actually a really strong set.
I mean, it had a couple of strong cards.
A good bunch.
Just like Cold Snap.
Oh yeah, Cold Snap. Most of them wonky, and then counterbalance happens. Or, you know, Scred, or whatever.
Or, I remember back in the day that Ohran Viper was just absurd.
Ohran Viper was, yeah, the chase card.
I'm saying that I see, like, infinite potential with this set. I just see much stuff you can do in this set. You can go mono legendary tribal. You can do like a weatherlight deck. You can make your brawl deck that's also your standard deck that works.
Wow.
You can go super friends because of Primeval's glorious rebirth, and then you get all your legendary planeswalkers back together with Oath of Teferi and just, you know, activate all those abilities at once.
Yeah.
You have Panharmonicon and Naban, Dean of Iteration. For, you know, quadruple wizard abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just such a good set. And there's nothing too obvious with the set, how it's going to shape the...
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Anything else you gotta add about this?
Well, not...
Overall,
we still didn't get the official spoiler for Rats.
Yeah. Hey, and we still didn't get an official spoiler for the actual, you know, podcast. Give us a spoiler, please. Please?
Please. So, I think that we're done with spoilers of this week. I really can't wait for the next week's spoilers when we're going to get everything
Most
else.
Likely what's coming up next.
Yeah?
Yep.
You were saying...
And I think that was it, right? Next week is most likely just going to be, you know, the comments and things like that.
I mean, you do have some comments which are exciting.
But, you know, the rest of the spoiler.
Well,
most
there's
likely.
Really not much left. There's like 82 cards.
Yeah, most likely, mostly commons.
But we didn't get any of the story spotlight.
Which is good.
So we'll finally see what in Bolas's clutches actually.
Aha. So while Niksha is dying, you can find all the information in the show notes. And my new article should be coming up soon, I guess, on the Cardsphere blog, because they did submit it like 5 days ago. So any day now. And this has been your host Igor, and as always with me has been Niksha. Yes. And this has been the Elder Dragon Rule Podcast, episode 68. And as always, the Emperor protects.
Welcome home.